It's time for the Steve and Kyle podcast with Kyle.
I'm hoping that can be our either second or third quarterly Steve and Kyle podcast feat of strength as we endeavor to see what the human body can actually do in two very, very underwhelming middle-aged male bodies. One who went to the ER with gas, yeah, and one who has Winky in place of an actual heart valve.
And Steve.
I feel like I need that validation.
You do, okay.
About a subject that I really didn't like then, well, don't I like mean, now.
Look, what I say here, you may be offended by it, but I assure you, no offense. The pencil holder looks like
look at this thing.
I mean, it's not good.
Now, here they are, two guys who are living in style, Steve and Kyle.
Boy, am I happy that you included that clip in the intro.
I stand by the quality of 12-year-old Kyle's clay work.
There was a lot of comments about it on social media. I saw it described as looking like two ice cream sandwiches that had been smushed together.
There were some differing opinions.
Some right.
That I
some
would
wrong.
Say for humor.
Mm.
Because it's easy to get lost that very vulnerable,
yeah,
very art-adverse 12-year-old Kyle put that together and not mid-30s Kyle.
Well, I think it was your good buddy Chris in the UP,
yeah,
who pointed out, Kyle, you weren't being graded on its function. You were being graded on its form. It was an art class.
Yeah.
Now, if you had been taking a build an indestructible pencil holder, mm-hmm, no matter what it looks like, yeah, you probably would have gotten an A. But if you haven't seen this picture, by the way, just at Steve and Kyle on social media. Kyle's amazing pencil holder from when you were 12, you said?
Yeah, 12 years old. This happened in 1999. Friend Brad Altvogt, first glance, it looks like two ice cream sandwiches smashed together.
I thought that there couldn't be a better description.
Our friend James Hortman, who we need to get on the horn here in the coming weeks. He has gone through in the span of months and listened to this entire podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, said at 400 some episodes.
At a glance, I thought you'd crammed a bunch of pens into a grilled stuffed burrito, which I got to tell you, that's not even like layering it in. That's just smacking it on. That's just heavy handed, James.
It's such a perfect description, though.
I am trying to see some of the Twitter comments as well, because yeah, you know, I would say differing views.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Moker said A+. Thank you, Mike. Good man.
Yeah.
Tim Fuller, looks like an old piece of bread that's about to get moldy.
How do you feel? Are you thanking him for that one? Or
no, I did. I sent him a pretty rude response back. Brian Krause says durability is an A and presentation is a C. So a B seems reasonable. Well, I don't think you're reasonable, Brian. Dan Scheich makes me want a sandwich on a pretzel bun. And we received multiple comments on both multiple platforms about former teacher Mrs. Kuhn, referring to Kyle as a she. And what could possibly be an accident, but could possibly have been her way of trying to, you know, rib me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe she was trying to light a fire under you.
Perhaps. It didn't work. Did not get along with Mrs. Kuhn.
What was that class?
That was, I believe, like the language arts. I forget what the exact title of it was. But yeah, whatever that would be called in seventh grade, right? Okay. So thank you to everybody for checking in on 12-year-old Kyle's artwork and making me feel proud about what I accomplished back then. You know, you wonder why the arts are dying, Steve.
And it's because you think it's because of this? Because kids aren't motivated, they aren't being given their proper due for their unbelievable work.
Yeah, I think last week was a real fork in the road for me. You know, I bring my 25-year-old artwork in here, and maybe, just maybe, if I get the validation, the pat on the back, the encouragement that my soul so needs.
Yeah.
Maybe this week I'm out there, you know, painting.
Really?
I think that was a turning point for me.
So this was a possibility.
And last week, and then during the week, with the very rude comments from a few of our listeners, I think drove me down the other direction.
Mm.
And I finally had to close the, you know, if I had a box of dreams,
yeah,
I put art in that box.
Along with your paints and your colored pencils.
Along with being athletic. And along with having a head of hair.
Okay.
Please. And having a normal human heart for all of my life. Again, okay. Those are all dreams I've had throughout my life.
Yeah, and they're just sitting in a box.
Yeah, I was 9 years old and I'm like, gosh, I hope my heart stays the same forever. But now, it's in the box.
Those flaps being closed, maybe some packing tape coming out. Packed up
and
just kicked out the front door.
I've given it to a local boatsman and they're just going to dump it in the middle of the lake. That's where those dreams now reside.
The bottom of a lake.
The bottom of a lake because of the comments, the hurtful comments of some that listen and also co-host this very podcast.
Look, I preceded everything last week by saying, no offense.
No, that's true.
So
that is true. And to be fair, that was the only negative thing you said. Granted, it was devastating and hurtful, but it was the only thing that you had said that was directly negative.
Yeah, it did not look good. Did not look good at all.
Where are we going to be at? Because we both have kids entering that phase of life where they like to try, maybe not try new things, but they're even in school doing different art projects, things like that. Are we going to have to be, Steve, the encouraging, great job, this looks fantastic, you should pursue this as a lifelong avenue, parents? Well, or are you going to treat Evelyn like poor Kyle's dreams?
Did you hear that, by the way?
That was a good one, man. Amazing. If I didn't get so exhausted with tracking those down every week.
I don't know what's up with my mic today, but it sounds different. And it was like my throat itself was mic'd perfectly.
That'd be nice. We should have like one of those, just a tiny one, almost like you'd see in Mission Impossible.
A little lavalier.
Yeah, and just on your throat, just on your vocal cords.
But anyway, we digress.
We digress. Or much like me in my dreams you did last week, are you going to nip them in the bud if she gets to a certain age? You're like, hey, the finger paints are still coming home looking like crap. She needs to know that plumbing is a viable outlet for her.
I think that I will be the stereotypical, great job, you can do it, follow your dreams parent.
Yeah.
I don't think you will be. I think that you will.
I'm incredible right now.
Yeah?
I'm so good, man.
Okay.
This kid is pumping out some of the world's worst art on an almost daily basis.
And you're giving it rave reviews?
Man, this kid is grinning ear to ear after I'm done with
it. Okay. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm pumping this thing up like we're in the Louvre, Steve.
There's no better feeling than seeing your kid be proud about something. It's going to be unfortunate years from now if these episodes are still floating around on the internet. Somebody says, hey, you want to hear what your dad said about your artwork 15 years ago?
Right. Yeah.
So, but, man. Look, we have a unspoken but now spoken contract between us and the listeners.
But is there stuff that you see around the house now where you're like, oh, God, I can't wait till we can, like, sneak that off the fridge in the middle of the night when she's not looking because woof.
Yeah, we've had a couple of incidents where I kind of blame Annette too because she'll do it a lot when
she doesn't listen, blame away.
She'll do it when Evelyn's in the room. She'll find the need to be like, oh well, we're gonna take this down
No.
What are you doing?
Yeah, no.
Like wait until she goes to bed and then we just throw it out. And where'd that go? Oh, I don't know.
It must have been gone. What are you even talking about? I don't remember anything there. That's
we don't need to explain everything.
Here's the two things working in parents' benefit, okay? Because I would argue when you're a parent, 98% of everything is stacked against you, okay? Last week when we walked upstairs, your daughter was having an issue because they were going to go play in the backyard and she wanted to play in the front yard.
Yeah.
In that regard, 98% of parenting is stacked against us.
Yeah.
We're never doing the right thing in the kids' eyes, whatever. We have two things working in our favor. The Shroud of Darkness and they're really, really dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a...
And you, if you combine those forces, like part of Captain Planet, but this is Captain Parent, and it only has two stones.
Oh boy, I think we... Did we just come up with a new...
A new character?
A new character that is very loosely based on something that's already very popular.
Very loosely based on current IP that we would never infringe upon.
No, no, no.
So Captain Planet, Steve, let's run this down, because if Captain Planet... You grew up with Captain Planet, right?
Yeah, Captain Planet. Remind me, though, because I was... That was very fringe. Was that, like...
It was PBS or something.
Like, yeah, but yeah. A bunch of, like, elements combined or something.
Correct. So it's kids... I forget their age group. Again, it's been forever since I've watched it. Would have rings for like earth, wind, water, fire.
Doesn't Earth kind of encompass all of them already?
I really think they needed four. I don't want to put a lot of shade on the 80s and 90s. I would bet that that was the token black character.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
But I believe it was earth, wind, water, fire. But I'm pretty sure, because my friends and I would do this in high school even. We were really cool. And we were sitting around playing cards or whatever. And if someone put their hand out and would say wind... The key was to not be the last one, which I now remember, was heart.
Heart?
Pretty sure Captain Planet had five things that would get put together.
Oh, see, I thought it was just four.
I'm trying to pull it up because now we're embarrassing ourselves is what we're doing.
Yeah. And it's obviously very important that we get to the bottom of Captain Planet.
Yeah, Captain Planet, oh boy, yeah, heart power. Mati's magnified heart power in the form of a male blue-skinned superhero avatar with a green mullet.
Hmm.
And he possesses all the other Planeteers' amplified powers, along with standard superhero powers. So yeah, he's absolutely those. But instead of that, we now have Captain Parent.
Okay.
And so we only have two items for Captain Parent right now. So
we have darkness.
The Shroud of Darkness.
We have child stupidity.
Yeah, yeah. The Shroud of Darkness and stupidity. Those are the two things helping us.
But you have to make... It has to be specifically child stupidity.
Yes.
So it doesn't sound like the stupidity is part of us.
Right. I don't want to get lumped in with kids.
Yeah.
Okay? Because they're dumb and we're not.
All right. What else can we do that kids can't?
Earth,
we can drive.
Fire, wind, water, heart. It is confirmed.
Yeah. Driver's license.
Just mobility. Yeah. Right? Those kids bump into everything. They're so dumb.
Yeah.
So Shroud of Darkness, child stupidity.
Mobility.
Mobility.
Oh, line of credit.
Oh, yeah. Financial reasoning or line of credit. Absolutely. I don't know how we're going to develop this into a full-fledged character. Oh, man. I'm just looking now at Captain Planet. And what an 80s and 90s image this guy is.
Okay.
I mean, like, red, almost like a halter top, Steve.
Oh, good.
With shredded metallic abs. I mean... Look at this guy. I mean, and look at the hair.
It pretty much describes both of us to a T already.
Right.
Oh, he's got like a blue flat top into a mullet.
It's remarkable. And again, the red halter top thing is just very odd.
Is that a halter top or do you think that's just a different, like it's like a full body suit?
Yeah, it's
just
it's multiple not actually, colors. Well, boy, I don't know who made. Definitely don't look at StephenKyle.com/merch.
Mm.
So this was Captain Planet and the Planeteers, more commonly referred to as Captain Planet. This would be like Captain Parent and the Army of Dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely don't seek us out there, intellectual property owner, Captain Planet.
Captain Parent. Okay. All right.
I wasn't
expecting to go down this route, but
I'm interested. I'm interested to hear how you're going to develop as you see your house. Listen, we've got doors now. Covered by this crap.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that I can't get rid of yet because he sees that.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he taped him up. And by the way, kids and tape.
Not great.
Worst combination known to man. I've started buying my tape on Amazon in bulk, Steve.
That's why we went with the, I picked up a couple of bulletin boards when I painted the little playroom here last year, picked up a couple of, they're 4 foot by 4 foot bulletin boards. And that is where the majority of the art goes. Oh, wait, it's downstairs, out of sight, out of mind. It falls off. Garbage.
Okay. Do you have to hide the kids' artwork on a bulletin board?
In the basement.
But we've gone too far.
Yeah.
We did not intend to get down a road of creating Captain Parent and the army of dumb kids or whatever.
Don't we need a fifth?
We don't have a fourth or fifth.
Oh, I thought we had a fourth was line of credit.
That was third, I believe. Either way, we'll develop this character more fully. Because,
we had Shroud of Darkness.
Oh, so line of credit.
Mobility.
Line of credit. Can be shown just as a wallet with just fat stacks of money falling out of it with the arms and legs.
These are all things that have to combine to create Captain Parent, who, again, is a character who, in the middle of the night, removes all of your kids' terrible artwork and gets rid of it. That's the point of this hero.
Yes. Yeah. So when you have an excess of artwork, you basically shine the Captain Parent beacon. Yeah.
You go find your five rings
into the sky.
Darkness, mobility, line of credit,
child stupidity,
child stupidity. Together, these powers combine. To create Captain Parent.
He just shows up at the door with a garbage can. Or maybe a shredder. He shows up with a shredder and shreds the artwork.
Yep. And again, under the dark of night. It's beautiful.
Well, oh, boy.
That's as your daughter enters, I'm very curious because the artwork load is about to increase, based on my experience, tenfold coming home. Once Evelyn will start going to kindergarten daily.
Yeah.
It's going to be overwhelming to have to look at that and smile every single day. So I'll be curious to hear how that plays out.
Yeah. That's, we're just months away from that.
We teased this last week and I wanted to get to it. And I need to apologize because I thought this was probably related to another topic you had written down. Mm-hmm. Last week we talked at length about you swindling your kids into picking up sticks for a penny.
Yeah.
And that was...
They still haven't invoiced me. I'm on Easy Street, man. It's great.
Right below that, you had written that you have like a new obsession. And I just assumed that it was the same thing. I assumed you were obsessed with the child labor aspect of your new relationship with your family. And that you were already starting to mentally prepare everything you could possibly convince them to do for pennies on the dollar.
No. I've had two unrelated interests in my life. And again, this is something that I'm not really sure. I don't think we've discussed it much, but I feel like there's a chance that you might be in lockstep with me on this one.
I feel like you're too old to be adding an obsession. I think obsessions have to end in the mid-20s.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel that's like one for the poll. Do obsessions have to end in the mid-20s?
Or can you create new obsessions after your mid-20s? Because it's hard to just... I feel like at our age, there's enough experience and things we've done that for you to find something or try something and be like, I not only like this, I love it, and I'm going to jump in head first.
But what if I told you that it was tech-based and, you know, technology obviously constantly evolving?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the tech that we have now? We didn't have 5-10 years ago. So there's the opportunity for the new obsession right there because it was something that just didn't exist before.
Are you talking like AI? Are you dealing with... Okay.
No.
Because I feel like you also had a mini... I wouldn't even call it a phase... But you were on top of the Apple products and releases. This was, 10, 15 years ago, more than that at this point. And you kind of phased out of that once you started becoming a grown-up. And that's so uncalled for. That's obviously for the gag. That's dumb. No. But you stopped doing that. You got married, you had kids, and you realized, hey, it's $1,000 on the new iPhone. That's hard to do.
But it was before that, though. I've talked about this on the side gig, too, where there was a time that... me and one of the guys from the side gig,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds so dated to say, but we would play racquetball multiple times a week.
Yeah.
At the
But now that's the same way in 10 years when people say, yeah, we were playing pickleball multiple times a week.
We went to the same gym. We'd play racquetball maybe once or twice a week. And there was one time where we were playing in the afternoon before both of us had kids. And so I was like, hey, yeah, I can play today, but I have to be done by 12:30 because I need to be home by 1 because that's when they're doing the reveal of the new iPhone or the iPad or whatever it
Which
was.
At that point was probably, what, 6, 5?
Who knows?
Something like that. Like an early generation thing.
But I was like, and I drove home and I pulled up the live stream and watched the whole 2-hour stream. And I don't want to say I took notes, but I was like, I knew what I wanted based on that. And then that just stopped. And it wasn't a, oh, I got married, I have kids now. It was before that. I was just like, I'm just not into this anymore. Couldn't really put a finger on exactly why, but just didn't care anymore. Now my phone is older than my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
We got our phones. I remember going into the store to buy our phones the week before Evelyn was born. Because we were like, oh, we got a baby on the way. Let's upgrade so we, you know, have a nicer camera so we can take, because we're going to be taking a million pictures. And then, we've had the same ones for nearly 5 years. And
that's shocking.
They are struggling.
Right. I think just battery life alone probably gets you to a point where...
Battery life's not even that bad. It's just, if I want to take a picture, normally it's like you just swipe down, hit the camera. Well, now you swipe down and it takes a little bit for those graphics to... you know, do what they're supposed to do, and then you tap on the camera, and sometimes it just goes to a blank screen. But anyway. But yeah, that just went away. I don't know why. Don't know when. Just stopped caring.
So you don't remember the point where maybe you dinged on your phone saying, you know, Steve Jobs from a wheelchair, you know, rubbing a leaf on his pancreas is going to give give an update on the iPad. No. And you don't remember going, oh, I'll try to watch, but I have this to do. And then you just never got back to it. So you can't pinpoint when it happened.
I don't. No.
So if you had to guess, or if you could even think back, what would you estimate is your last personal obsession? That you sunk hours into it, money into it. You're distracted by it at work. You're distracted by it at home.
Boy.
You're going to the bathroom and you're taking extra time because you're on your phone looking at things about it.
It probably would have been the Apple products one. Like
you
that.
Wouldn't put Second Chance Jeeps or the Comanche itself onto that?
No, because I think that's an interest, that's a hobby, that's something that I've kind of always enjoyed. I don't know if it's ever hit obsession status.
You weren't consumed by it. When you decided, and this was, how long ago was it now that you bought the Comanche? Was it 4 years, 3 years?
Yeah, three and a half, 4 years ago, I think.
You don't remember getting to that point where you'd had the discussion with Annette and internally, and you said, I'm buying one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. That was your laser focus. You're like, I'm looking, I'm seeking out a Comanche.
No, but you may be right. You may be right. I was really focused on buying one for a while.
It's hard to say that's an obsession, though. When you're just, I mean, it'd be like me saying, hey, I need to buy a new car, so I'm looking at cars. That's not necessarily an obsession.
Yeah.
It's you're probably right. So you would think back to the Apple era for you.
Yeah, but I'll give you the Comanche. I think maybe at the beginning there was a little obsession with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you were out there, you know, shaving rust for the better part of 3 years.
Yeah, pretty much. Right?
How quickly did the joy of that obsession becoming a reality sink into, oh my God, I'm going to be just repairing rust for eternity?
I'm going to be blowing rust boogers out of my nose.
Yes, that's right, which is a thing that happened.
Yeah, definitely. It was pretty quick. Pretty quick, I realized, wow, this isn't so glamorous.
Yeah, so you're like 2 hours in, you've taken everything off, right? Because you took the bed off because you sold it or got rid of it, I believe. Yeah. And so you got all of that stuff done, which looks like a massive thing. Hey, this thing has changed in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
And then you very quickly realized,
I got to do something.
this part of the work really sucks.
I got to put this back together. Oh, I wasn't expecting that to be broken. Well, there's $300. I wasn't expecting that to be in that bad a shape, $200.
So, Steve, you're now in your late 20s, early 30s.
Yep, 42. 42 going on 43.
What struck you at this stage in your life, a man with a full-time career, a full-time money loser in this?
Yeah.
Another side project in dealing with a Comanche and Jeep in the garage?
Yeah.
Husband?
Yeah.
Two kids?
Mm-hmm.
What struck you at this time in your life? that you cannot get out of your brain right
Again,
now.
Again, this is something that you're going to be surprised about because it's not something new.
Okay.
It's not a new technology. It is tech-based.
Can I give another guess then?
Yeah.
Are you into drones?
No. That I feel like I could very easily get into, though.
Me too. Especially, I had one. I received one drone as a gift. This was
you had a drone?
This was a long time ago. But it was one that the technology was early enough on them that if you didn't spend $400 on them,
right,
it was impossible to fly.
Are we?
Should we? Are we going to become?
Are we getting drones?
Are we drone guys? I don't know. There's so much stuff to look at. I was just about to ask, what are we going to look at? And then I realized we're old now. We're like, ooh, look at that treetop.
Yeah. Oh, I got to check out the root system of that tree has been affected by the latest bug.
I think we got to do. I think this is something should we should. Should we empty the coffers and not improve anything in here?
And just buy drones?
And just buy one really nice drone.
No, I think we need two drones. So that way.
Drone fights?
I can be at my house. You can be at your house. And we can meet at, like, the midpoint? Because where do we live? Probably three miles apart?
So we can, like, meet at the grocery store.
And just hover there and look at each other.
And, like, get a nice bunch of shots from the roof of the grocery store.
Hey, you see that red car down there? I see that red car.
Oh, he's backing up. Backing up.
Zoom in on it.
I'd love this for us.
Oh, my God.
I think this is a much more viable option. The last thing we were going to try to do together was years ago, and we were going to dig half of your backyard into an RC track.
I think that's still happening, by the way.
God, can you imagine how quickly both of our wives would lead us? We were like meeting up multiple times a week with our drones.
Go ahead.
And then on the weekend doing a podcast and then racing RC cars in the backyard.
Go ahead. Let them leave. We'll move in together.
Oh, we're so cool. And we would... Who needs women at that point? But they'd be flocking anyway once they found out we had an RC track in the backyard.
And drones? Yeah.
I'm sorry. You want to see over the, local park? Sure. Let's take a quick flight.
Hop in.
So what is it at this stage of your life, Steve, that has captured you?
Smart devices and home automation.
Okay. So you are trying to make... to where you have light switches and you would have chains to start your fan, whatever. You're trying to make those present, obsolete.
Obsolete. Completely obsolete.
So are you using, you want them all plug-based?
Well, that's where, that's what, I had never really looked into that kind of stuff before. And it was because I was so overwhelmed by it. Like, man, there's so many options. Do I get a lamp that is a smart lamp or do I just get an outlet that is a smart outlet that I plug the regular dumb lamp into? And then back before the holidays when I was decorating the house, I was like, I pulled out my Christmas lights and I was like, why am I still using these old timey like dial timers to trigger the lights to turn on at certain times? That's stupid. I'm going to get some of those smart outlets. So I went on to Amazon, I ordered a couple of smart outlets, and they showed up, and it was not really the brand that I ordered, and then I scanned the QR code to download the app, and it was not the app that was listed. Like, it was just one of those things where it seemed like it was some crappy Chinese product, and nothing really worked exactly how it was supposed to work, and a couple of the outlets didn't work. So I was like, I just ended up, they're actually sitting right down on this table right here. Threw them in a corner, didn't think anything of it. Of course, got outside of the return window to return them. So I was like, screw it. I'm going to order some nice ones. Ordered some like Amazon brand plugs that before they even ship them to your house, they already configure them for your network.
Okay, so if you go legit on these.
Yeah, like if you get the Amazon Basics ones, they... Obviously, they already have all of your Wi-Fi info and everything from your router and all of that crap that's all connected. So these things show up. I plug them in, and within 2 seconds, I have a pop-up notification in my Alexa app saying your plugs are ready to use. So plug them in, and that's got some like the Christmas lights going across the mantle. So now instead of having to plug them in and unplug them, we just say, hey, turn on the mantle lights or whatever. But then I'm like getting into routines. I was like, oh, we don't even have to say that. I turn them on every day at, 9:30. Turn them off every night at 11 p.m. And then we got a couple more outlets. I got other stuff that's all triggered by it. And then I finally made the leap. Got the doorbell cam. Hooked that up last week.
So did you go name brand on that one? The big one?
Did, yeah.
No free rides here.
Yeah. Got the name brand one. It's great.
So you're on the video doorbell game now. And I'd be curious. Now, my brother's on it. My folks have been on it.
Are you on it?
I don't care.
Okay.
I mean,
I think you would if you had one.
But I'm getting delivery, guys. I don't care about that. I'll get a notification if I have an Amazon package or FedEx. I'll get a notification that says your package has been delivered.
Yeah, but something about being able to see it.
Make sure
that people aren't up to no good.
I've never had an issue with stuff being stolen off my porch. I've never once cared to see the pest spray guy trying to sell me service once a year.
I'm telling you, man.
So are you just sitting there and you've got it set up? So you're at work. So it's dinging. You know, if Annette walks out the front door for whatever reason, you're getting a thing on your phone saying activity at your front door.
Yesterday, I had a lot of joy watching for 2 minutes during a commercial break at work, watching Annette chase Nikki across the front lawn with his coat because he didn't want to put it on. And he just kept outrunning her.
Okay. So...
Right now. Do you want to see what's going on in my front yard? I'll let you know.
I have the answer for you, and you're not going to like it.
Yeah.
Not a chance do I want to see that.
Okay. I feel like there's some judgment there.
I just walked in it 33 minutes ago.
Hey, check this out. Look at that.
Oh,
yeah. Whole lot of stuff going on right there on my front lawn.
Certainly looks like my car there.
Yeah. But look, I mean, there's that car out in the street, too.
Yeah, no, listen, I saw it when I drove in 35 minutes ago.
You see the neighbor's house across the street?
Oh, would you look at that? It's that time of the podcast to not look at your front yard.
How did you fire that remotely from over there?
I love this new mixer.
So many options.
Just a delight.
All right, so we're getting into the Fast Five. We haven't done this in a couple of weeks, maybe?
Yeah, been a few weeks. I'd like to get back on track with maybe doing it once a month, which was our initial goal once we pulled it from being a weekly bit. It was taking up too much time. So, yeah.
You want to go first? I can go first.
Yeah, I'll go first. I've got a little bit of audio I believe I have linked up here ready for us when we get to it. We'll get to that, though, on the turnaround.
Of course, yeah.
Number one, Steve. Katie Britt. Does that name ring a bell to you this week?
Oh, Katie Britt. She is, is she the one that did the follow-up or the response to the State of the Union?
Yeah, that she delivered the GOP response from her kitchen in Alabama.
I was very homespun.
And there is, as with every one of these, there's a million things to unpack. And the audio alone makes my shoulders like... want to retreat into my body. It's so awkward.
Okay.
But we'll play that. Talk a little bit more about that on the turnaround. Yeah. Next up is Haiti. Have you been following anything going on in Haiti, Steve?
No.
Riddled with anti-police gang violence.
Okay.
To the point now where basic essentials for a large portion of that population are unavailable. Food, any utilities, because police and these anti-police gangs are in constant combat in the streets and everywhere. It's pretty much a war zone in Haiti right now, and it's been largely ignored internationally because it seems like something that a lot of people are just kind of, sounds about right, but to this degree, we are seeing, I wouldn't say that it's a country on the brink, but... their main ports have closed.
Mm-hmm.
There's not people coming in. I have no idea how this ends without intervention from the outside. But it's terrifying to see some of these images. I mean, you're talking explosions, fires everywhere on the streets, cars being bombed. It's insane to see.
That's terrible.
When you put it into context with everything going on in the Middle East always. But this is like, it's Haiti. It's not known to be as riddled with war and issues as this is. Next up is March Madness. It is almost here.
I do not think you're allowed to say that.
Next up is the big tournament in the month, in the third month of the year.
There we go.
Where they play basketball.
Hoops.
Huh? Yeah. Now, you're not a sports guy. You're definitely not a basketball guy. Boy, and I couldn't agree more. I had a little poker night last night playing poker with a bunch of friends.
Yeah.
And there was an NBA game on, and it was like an eternity of boredom.
It's that is by far my least favorite sport.
But what about the big tournament in the third month of the year where they play basketball? That doesn't strike you. You won't have that on. You won't follow the highlights, the buzzer beaters of the 13 seed.
In no way.
Really?
No. I mean, it'll be cool when you see, you know, the 15 seed knock off the whatever, the 2 seed or something. Yeah, that's cool. But I just don't care about basketball.
You think your mom just smoked a lot of cigarettes after she had brother Mike before you?
Before me? I don't think mom was much of a smoker.
But I'm just curious. I always wonder how personalities and stuff can change. Because obviously I see that with my own brother as well.
Right.
And physically, he's 6'6". Yeah, what are the dumb things he's into? Oh, God. Like,
Blackstone grilling.
Blackstone grilling. He's got a boat. He's got a full head of hair and he's tall. Like, imagine having those interests.
So, having a full head of hair is more than just genetics. It's actually an interest for him.
Next up is the Oscars. The Oscars. Now, they'll have aired by the time this episode comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Does the Oscars tickle your fancy at all? No. We talked about movies, not recently, but within the past 6 months here, about do these intrigue you?
No. I mean, again, until you just said we've talked about movies, I would have had to really think Oscars. Wait, that's movies, right? Yeah, movies. I don't care.
Wow.
I don't care at all.
It's like, it's crazy to see. It's not an insulated world. It's just a different world. Mm-hmm. Like, while I observe and hear and feel like I know about, hey, the box office of this movie did well, or this one failed, or this one's supposed to be really good. It's like, that part of my brain is totally replaced on your end with like, hey, I need to do this with the Jeep, or I need to do this on the house. And it's like our brains have just been reversed.
You know, it's weird. I was talking to somebody about this recently, how I never know what to think when I get out of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody, like, my biggest fear is for somebody to be standing there with the microphone and like, how did you like it?
Yeah,
and I'd be like, it was good, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I feel like I don't have that gene or that ability to give, I mean, obviously, in-depth movie reviews. Like,
sure.
You've heard, what, 27 of my...
By the way, in coming weeks, that is still on the list for a real heart-to-heart you and I need to have on this podcast.
I don't know. I feel like there's so much pressure there. And I remember a friend of mine back in college. She put it perfectly, and I've always remembered her saying, like, she said, I hate going to the movies with other people because I feel like when you get out of the movies, there's that immediate pressure to be like, what would you think? And you have to come up with this, like, almost like a movie review in the moment. And I was like, God, I never really realized that before, but I totally feel that.
Yeah.
I feel like there's that pressure of you need to say right now, did you like it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you not like it? What were the plot points you liked? Whose performance was good, whose was bad, and I don't have a discerning enough eye to be able to say, well, I thought that so-and-so's performance was good, but I was really hoping that they would have gone this way. No, I watch movies for what they are, and I typically don't have a lot of questions after them.
Okay.
Like, wait, what happened there? Because if I don't understand something, I'm just like...
You're not tying the pieces together internally. It's funny. I one of my best friends in the world, his dad took us to our first rated R movie way back when. Mm-hmm. And my friend and I, his name is Nate, we've always been that same way. We don't ask each other that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll maybe reconvene hours later or days later, be like, hey, I was thinking this about that movie, whatever.
Or like send an article that somebody else wrote. What do you think about this?
But his dad would be that guy down the hallway.
Yeah.
30 seconds out of seat, walking down the hallway, and he'd stop and turn. What'd you guys think? And it's so hard to put on the spot. And one, because I think being at the movie theater in front of that big screen, and that experience is totally different.
Yeah.
Once you've removed yourself from that for even a little bit, mm-hmm. to be able to, if you want to,
yeah.
think a little more critically about either the choices in the movie, whatever. Yeah.
By the way, we're going to get more in-depth on this on the turn.
Absolutely. But yeah, but for you, the Oscars, it doesn't cross your purview outside of until you get to work Monday.
Exactly.
And there'll be, I'm guessing, either flubs or funny bits from Jimmy Kimmel.
Highlights. Yeah. If somebody, you know, like, oh, this movie won 10 different awards. And then it's a montage of that movie.
Which this year seems like it'll probably be Oppenheimer.
Sure.
Gonna tune in then this week? Gonna catch on Oppenheimer? It wins the awards. So you gonna go turn on the streamer?
When is the ceremony?
The ceremony Sunday, but I'm saying, like, let's say you read Monday, you're like, hey, Oppenheimer won, you know, mm-hmm. 7 awards.
Yeah.
You going home and carving out the 3 hours for Oppenheimer?
No.
Big things to do. Gotta install a new plug.
Look, man, I can tell my lamp to turn on.
That's right.
I'm not even home.
Right now. Right now, if you wanted to, you could look at my car in your driveway. Please, for the love of God, don't. Lastly, Steve, it's been the talk of the movie world this past week. Dune 2. I put this on there for a couple of reasons.
Uh-huh.
Dune originally would have been in your era of, like, growing up
mm-hmm.
and that age where I don't think schools would have made you read it, but it would have been,
mm-hmm.
hey, it was a massively popular sci-fi book once the first movie series came out, I believe, in the 80s. Did Dune the movie or Dune the book ever come across your desk, your brain when you were younger or now?
No.
Before that, we talked about the Oscars. I would so love us as a traveling comedy troupe where, again, if you, and it's even true in radio, but obviously the key with improv and anything is the yes and. Right. I love that we've really honed in on the expertise of the but no.
Yeah. No.
Before that, the Oscars, this thing is, most people would argue that Jimmy Kimmel is a fine host for the ceremony. Everybody else says this thing's way too long.
It seems like it's a thankless task to host those award shows. I don't know does he get paid for that?
I don't know how that works. I would bet not, because he's an ABC employee and it's on ABC. So I think that's probably, but you'd have to, there's so much prep that has to go into it.
I wonder if that's timing, part of all his of that stuff. Contract negotiations or whatever.
Yeah. You know, I'll do three awards a year, or three over the next 3 years. You get to pick which ones. It just drags, man. And it's so fart sniffing, navel gazing of these uber wealthy people talking mm-hmm. about how their
art.
Yeah. And it's, oh God, it makes you roll your eyes. Anybody says the cinema or,
refers to movies as pictures.
Yeah. Or I'm a storyteller. Like, oh God, get out of my life.
Nope. What do you think was the last picture that was made?
Oh God. Ooh, it makes my skin crawl just thinking about it.
I remember, it was
probably something with Daniel Day-Lewis.
No. I remember Shia LaBeouf, or Shia LaBeouf, however you say his name. And he was on one of the late night shows, and he was talking about, you know, a movie that he was in. And he was like, well, I really enjoyed doing that picture. And it was like Transformers or something.
Yeah.
Like, Transformers was not a picture.
Yeah. You were running away from a yellow ball on a rope. Right. You know?
These are not pictures.
So, there's some actors who seem so normal and like, I would like to talk to them. Or I think they'd be fun to hang out at a bar with.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper.
Oh, God. But then there's other actors, like Shia LaBeouf, like the Daniel Day-Lewis. So it's, my art form and my craft and, oh, God.
Nope.
Just smash a beer can over my head and leave.
I'm going to start referring to my job, mm-hmm. like where I go Monday through Friday, mm-hmm. as my craft.
Well, we've already referred to it as in the trenches.
Sure.
So,
well, I mean, in your case, you work in the private sector.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Your craft is in the private sector.
Before that, March Madness is on the list. It doesn't even come across your...
Yeah. I'll watch the One Shining Moment montage at the end.
I believe in coming years, as you know, my kid gets older and as your nephews get a little older too, Brother Mike and I have spoken about possibly meeting at a sports book or something to watch opening day and just...
That could not be less appealing.
There is nothing that sounds better on the planet than that to me. I miss it. I used to go to a bar.
I met you there a couple times.
And I would be in a chair by noon on the opening day of the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, the big tournament in March that they play basketball.
Deals with collegiate basketball.
And I would stay there until 2 in the morning until the last game had ended.
Gross.
And...
What's your bar bill after a 14-hour?
Well, a couple of the wait staff would cash out by then, so it's hard to keep that. Easily $150, right?
That has only gone up.
Sure. I haven't done this in 5-6 years at this point. I have not gone out at all.
Sneak a flask in or something. And...
Into the bar. Yeah. Before that, Haiti, we talked quite a bit about the unrest, and it's that's very depressing just because it's obviously depressing and it's happening, but it also is... I shouldn't say lost because of the other international tragedies going on in Gaza and Israel, all of that stuff where it's like, oh boy, it just seems like everything's on fire.
Yeah.
Let's just hope ours can stay.
It's that meme with the dog where everything's on fire in back of them.
Yeah.
Everything is fine.
And lastly, Katie Britt, the junior senator from Alabama who delivered the GOP response to the Joe Biden State of the Union address and caught a boatload of flack on the internet for how she delivered it, and two, some of the contents. A lot of the, I don't believe this very short clip deals with the contents as much as the delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, if you haven't heard this yet, it'll make sense when you hear it. But it's important to paint the picture of where she's delivering this from, as she talked about how she's just like one of us, many Americans. And so people picked apart this image of her kitchen in her 4,000 square foot Montgomery, Alabama home.
Sure.
With a $10,000 freezer fridge setup and granite everywhere. But yeah, listen to this clip of how Katie Britt normally sounds compared to how she decided to speak in her rebuttal on Sunday.
I am looking forward to delivering the Republican response to the State of the Union. So tune in.
President Biden's border policies are a disgrace. This crisis is despicable. And the truth is, it is almost entirely preventable.
And thank you to all the gentlemen behind me who continue to work diligently to actually secure
our border. There's her natural voice.
That's what the American people deserve. But unfortunately, Joe Biden refuses to give that to them.
Mr. President, enough is enough. Innocent Americans are dying, and you only have yourself to blame.
Everything that we put forth that would actually secure and close
voice?
The border, the Democrats don't want. This is yet another prong of the failed Bidenomics. This is the definition of America last.
The American people are scraping by while President Biden proudly proclaims that Bidenomics is working. Goodness, y'all. Bless his heart.
Oh, bless his heart. I know what that means in Southern.
There were, first of all, I have no earthly idea why it would strike you to do that, to go back to your high school Shakespeare roots and act like that on a nationally broadcast platform, right? And take into account where she's delivering all of this, I'm one of you, rah-rah from.
Right. Yeah.
Did not catch a lot of positive reaction outside of the usual suspects who would enjoy that.
Very reminiscent of Sarah Palin.
Yeah. Right, like Sarah Palin was a little bit more homespun.
I'm a hockey mom.
Yeah, I don't know what... She sounded totally normal.
Yeah.
In those clips talking to television networks and talking to Congress. What?
Yeah,
Can you try to slip it in this week? I don't listen, so you have to save the clip, but can you try to slip in something like that where... it doesn't have to be heartfelt, but you're about to...
I can't believe that you would ask me such a thing... It would just make a mockery of my craft.
Steve, I've been trying and trying to tell you. Nobody cares about your doorbell camera. Nobody. I'm sorry, I was just in character there.
Okay, boy, didn't seem targeted at all on that. Yeah, I guess if I had to find a silver lining, it's that That's obviously who the Republican Party is trying to prop up.
Yeah.
Like, look how young and hip and cool we are. So at least it's not an octogenarian man.
Right. Right. And we've come such a long way that I feel like not that long ago, we were actually taking the context of the State of the Union and listening to them and having those pulled apart after the fact. Now it's just memes of Joe Biden acting surprised when he saw. Did you see that clip? That was, oh, wow. No. That was all over.
No.
Marjorie Taylor Greene was wearing a red suit jacket with a white Trump T-shirt with a Trump hat and wearing a Trump pin. And she was standing in the aisle way of when Joe Biden walked in and Joe Biden was, you know, saying hi to shaking hands to some people and saw her and visibly on purpose recoiled and went like gave a super shocked face for about 3 to 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And the camera cut to her. And for the first time in my life, I saw an ounce of shame in her.
I don't believe that.
But like we've all it is now. Is now, it's a Joe Biden meme of being surprised and the weirdo Shakespeare acting.
Yeah.
That's what we're taking away from our biggest political address of the year.
Yeah.
Instead of anything.
Yeah.
Good spot we're in.
We are just the laughing stock.
God, I hope yours are happier than mine. You're fast. Right?
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so that was it. Here's mine.
Fast five. Zoom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Kyle, first up on my fast five list. Let's see, going down my list. Oh, God. Mine are like a walk in the park compared to yours. Oh,
I can't wait for like a mailbox. Get your bobcat in the scenario.
Hey, what's the deal with the price of fish sticks?
Could we go on the road? This is a conversation for another time, okay. But do you think you and I could go on the road as Bobcat and James Earl Jones traveling comedy troupe?
It's a strange pairing, but I think that you really get a nice swath of the population that are into it.
Yeah, we're going to have to expand both of our horizons to make content out of it because I feel like right now we have not just one bit out of you, but one word.
Ray.
Right? And then so I'm going to have to come in with, oh, what about the field and the corn? And
okay, so again.
Fast five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
First on my list, Jason Kelce retiring.
Yeah, you know, good for him. He hit the offensive lineman lottery in football.
Yeah, it seems like he is beloved by everybody, and he will never pay for a beer again in the city of Philadelphia.
Mid to late round draft pick, married by all accounts, who seems a woman who seems to be incredibly kind and fun, has a family, and is it. In good health as much as a professional football player can be. Good for him.
Yeah. Boy, did you see the
little self-serving there? What
Oh, that was a long speech. Yeah.
Speech, man. Yeah. Like, listen, you snapped a cone of leather a more talented athlete.
You're the hiker.
For 15 years. Come on.
Do you think that when you retire from the private sector, how long's your speech going to be? Your press conference?
Oh, boy. I'm going to keep it under five and no thank yous being given. So it's all going to be about what I did, how I did it.
It's just going to be basically I told you so.
Yes. Okay. For no more than 5 minutes. And then good luck.
All right. Next on my list, NIL. Just in general.
Yeah,
Nick Saban, former Alabama coach, basically came out in the last week and said NIL is why he retired, essentially.
Yeah, he said the post-season interviews with each of his players were less about how they could be improved next season and how they could get back to where they were and more about, can you guarantee me a starting spot and how much money am I going to be
paid?
How
much are you paying?
Now, granted, we're also taking this from the words of a 75-year-old man who didn't want this change to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, NIL is the unregulated Wild West as it stands. Mm-hmm. And my UP Chris has asked, and I have a nice sports tape lined up where I just need to do it. Just about NIL and college athletics.
Hang out here after we record?
We'd be doing not just one record, not just two records.
Well, I mean, not we, because I ain't sticking around.
Yeah, well, no, we need you to pop in every 3 to 6 minutes with a and then get back out. But no, I will do that because I have a lot of thoughts about NIL. But to keep them brief, right now it's the unregulated Wild West. I do think long term it's the proper way to do things for college athletics. I just, how the NCAA reacts and how teams react and how it remains to be seen.
Number three, we're sticking in the sports genre, by the way.
I can't believe you.
I know.
I asked you like two movie questions. You like scratched your butt. And you're on your third sports question.
I know. This is something that's near and dear to your heart from the world of boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tyson, Jake Paul. Yeah, scheduled to fight in August, I think, at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, sometime this summer for free on Netflix.
Yeah.
So I have, say what you will about Jake Paul. I'm not going to get too in-depth about what people think of him. What he's done for boxing, I think, overall is good. Mm-hmm. He puts together good boxing cards where he gives a larger percentage of the gate and the profit from these cards to good fighters who need to be showcased, whereas boxing as a whole, what we know it as, which is, here's $80 for a pay-per-view that starts at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. You'll see the two boxers you want to enter the ring at like 12:30.
Yeah.
That's it, type of thing. He's putting talented fighters that need a showcase, paying them more. For the most part, what he's doing is very good. I think Jake Paul recognizes what his attraction to these events is. He is a somewhat boxing hobbyist. He's professional.
Mm-hmm.
He could absolutely destroy you, me, everybody in the public, right? When you start putting him against talented fighters, which we saw in his two fights ago, he lost pretty decidedly. So I think he's going back to the showcase. There's nothing wrong with that. His brother fought Floyd Mayweather in an exhibition, right? He's making money for boxers, making money for himself. If people are buying this thing, I don't smite anybody who is doing for a dying sport in boxing what he is doing and trying to do. I'll be there. It's Netflix. I already have the one with ads. Yeah. I'll watch it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I tuned in to a boxing match that took place in Saudi Arabia 20 hours ago.
Moving along, this is something that I know that you are also going to be tuned in for, the April 8th solar eclipse.
Oh, boy. We
have a long history of.
We do. We have a long history. We have to go back. Who was our eclipse correspondent? I want to say it was Chris. Was it Chris Kaminsky, maybe? We'll have to go back to the last eclipse where we had an eclipse correspondent.
Didn't he drive?
They were like somewhere where the best viewing point.
Like somewhere in Illinois, I thought, or something.
And I don't know where that best viewing point is for this one. Do you?
It is. We would have to drive a couple hours to get to it.
Well, that means we just find a correspondent on the ground.
It basically goes from Texas, I think, like up to Maine.
Okay. Let's find the strip, and in the next week or so, we'll reach out social media to try to get a correspondent on the ground so we can see, did you make one of those stupid boxes and go sit on the hood of your car? No offense.
And lastly, the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, is there news?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just feel like this is always the time of year when the first Nessie sighting of the season.
Yeah, let me just...
Are you... You're a believer, right?
No question about it, Steve. As much guff as we give, like, loony conspiracy people, I'm in on Loch Ness, ghosts, aliens, all of the big ones, obviously. The Sasquatch. Biggest one of them, Sasquatch, for sure. Obviously, the biggest one of all is that LHO was simply a guy boxing books and was doing some target practice out the window.
I don't know if you can group me in with that.
That's a podcast stance we've had for years. I love the legend of Nessie. Yes,
given the opportunity to go over to
Lake Loch,
I believe it's called Loch Ness.
No, I'm pretty sure it's, isn't it Lake Loch?
No, because Loch means lake.
Boy, hang on, it is Loch Ness.
To be clear, you thought that...
I thought it was Lake Loch. Yeah.
You thought it was Lake.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't know, Scottish lingo for lake.
Yeah, who could have seen that Loch means lake?
Not me. Listen, I'll post it in the poll. Is Loch meaning lake common knowledge?
I don't think you're going to like the results of that one.
Maybe not, but I don't like any of the results. All right, that's on the poll. I am a huge
huge Nessie fan. So if given the opportunity to go on an excursion to search for Nessie, you're in?
No question. I prefer an excursion seeking out Bigfoot or a Sasquatch.
Okay.
Just because in general I don't like the water. I don't want to, you know.
You'll be in a safe...
it doesn't matter. You can't see below your feet.
Like a submersible.
Oh, then no. No. Because I was reminded, I had forgotten all about the submersible idea until I was reviewing, alert, coming up next week, Poll Badness 2024, and there's a submersible poll question that makes the tournament. Oh, so I had forgotten about that until reading that. And yeah, no, I'm not interested in water.
Okay.
Deep water, waters with possible monsters in them. Keep them away from me. No, thank you. But ocean included.
But you're still interested in it. Like, you still want to know. You want to believe.
Yeah, and I don't even... I mean, it feels like of the big ones, right? Aliens, Sasquatch. Like, down... the Loch Ness Monster is...
Jersey Devil?
The Jersey... 100% believe the Jersey Devil. Absolutely. Yeah. I'd love to take a trip out of the Pine Barrens. I think the Loch Ness Monster is the one that's most easily disregarded and disproved.
Yeah. But it's the one where you see pictures of it.
Right.
Like every week if you go to the Sun's website.
Yeah. I mean, but you also see, you know, Bat Boy on the Sun's back page.
You know, I don't know.
Are you a believer?
Oh, I'm a Nessie believer.
Yes. We got to do more cool stuff with the stupid stuff we believe in.
Well, we already have the idea for the Conspiracast.
Yes. Yeah. And History of the Mystery.
Of the Mystery, where we don't actually solve the mysteries. We just talk about the history of the mystery.
How the mystery developed, and then we leave it, you know, it's like the ending of Inception. We leave it up to you.
All right. So before that, we had the April 8th solar eclipse. So we're putting the call out there officially right now to
Yeah, if you're in the strip, if you're in the magnifying glass of the sun.
You big dummy. It's called the Path of Totality.
Okay, now that's out of a cult.
No, it's seriously.
Nope, I'm going to post it. Is the Path of Totality from a cult? I've never heard that before.
Really?
No.
That's the strip where if you're in it, you will see the effects of a full solar eclipse.
Yeah, that's also what the people said before they drank the blue Kool-Aid.
Nah, I don't know about that. All right, so we're putting the call out.
Yes.
We need somebody who's in the Path of Totality.
Won't say that because I don't want to be in a cult doc on Netflix in 10 years.
To be our correspondent, we're going to need pictures. We're going to need videos.
Well, we're going to talk live.
Probably just going to be bright. But April 8th, what day of the week is that?
I have no idea.
Do you think it would line up when we're doing the podcast?
Boy, that would be a miracle, wouldn't it?
Is it a Saturday at 9 a.m., 10 a.m.? Let's see. April 8th.
April is a Monday.
It is a Monday.
And is this a solar or is this a lunar?
This is a solar.
So this is a solar eclipse. Let me see what time. So after this one in April 8th, Steve, the next total solar eclipse.
Yeah, we're all going to be dead, right?
August 2044.
And we'll probably still be alive. It's only 20 years from now.
There's no evidence of that. I got a fake valve and you've been to the doctor for a gas. So still evidence will be around in 2044.
Okay, before that, Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, you are all in on it. You're watching it.
I shouldn't say all in. I don't love the validity of this as a legitimate boxing match. This is a almost 60-year-old marijuana-dependent Mike Tyson, far, far removed from a career, and a young guy severely undersized against Mike Tyson and not as talented of a boxer in Jake Paul. It's fine for what it is, which, again, is an event. It's not to the level of Mayweather-McGregor from, at this point, I think it was 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a fine showman's show for a streaming service that desperately wants to be in the live sports game.
I will definitely check it out. Before that, NIL.
Yeah, there's way too much to unpack, and for this podcast, it's incredibly boring to talk about it outside of it's absolutely, undoubtedly changed the landscape of college athletics going forward.
Can you give a guarantee that within the next couple of weeks, there will be a sports tape episode? Okay. Can you give a guarantee that in the next month and a half?
Yeah, I can do that.
I think you could do it in the next couple of weeks.
Just the reason that we're doing here today is a messed up recording schedule. We're both gone in coming weekends.
I guess if you're
hitting Disney and we're doing all this stuff.
If you could make it a priority in your life.
Hard to argue.
And first on the list was Jason Kelce, calling it quits after, what, 13, 14 years in the NFL.
I hesitate asking this. I know Brother Mike is somewhere down the line right now, and I hope he's not upset at me. Mm-hmm. Was it a little bit too look at me, Louie?
Well, I think that I think both of the Kelce brothers are on the verge of overexposure just because of
which, to me, doesn't bother me
the,
as much.
The Taylor Swift affiliation, right. And a lot of people, you know, who 6 months ago may have never heard of him or them are like, all right, enough. But it seems to be taking over my social media feed quite a bit. I'm like, I don't really need to see Kylie Kelce's.
Did you see the packing one?
Screenshot of a tweet of...
Oh, God, yeah, of her, their dating profile when they met. I saw a screenshot of that. I don't follow Kylie Kelce. I don't follow Jason Kelce anywhere. But in the past week, you're right.
Yeah.
I've seen now a clip of a show of, Kylie Kelce, give me the Kylie Kelce packing for vacation energy. And she's just like throwing bundles of clothes unfolded into a suitcase and slapping the lid on. And then another one was a screenshot of... Oh, this is what his profile was when we first met.
Yeah.
I still don't follow these people.
Yeah.
I think I said
it. I found it unbelievable how much, because they showed his, I guess his senior year, whatever year it was that he was drafted, like his draft photo from when the Eagles drafted him in 2011. I can't believe how much he looked like former side gig intern Nader Tot.
Oh, yeah.
Looked exactly like him.
Yep, exactly. Full beard.
Exactly like him.
Yep. I think I said on this podcast previously, the last football center that people like knew the name of on a national level was Barrett Robbins. And that was because the night before the Super Bowl, he had a mental episode. And
went to Mexico.
Like, stormed out to Mexico. Nobody could find him. That's been it.
Yeah.
Football centers... on a wide scale, have been unknown until Jason Kelce.
Yeah,
in the last 2 to 3 years, really.
I think he really went viral for the first time when the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
The speech,
and he did the speech,
right?
Yeah,
and then he announced he was returning with some type of keg stand video last year. So he seems like a very fun guy.
Yeah,
but you're right, and I don't know if it's fault with the overexposure, but boy, oh boy, real look at me, Louie, with a 40-minute retirement speech.
Woof.
Should we make our own retirement speeches for an upcoming episode?
No. Because we've talked about numerous times.
Well, yeah, we're not actually retiring, but just done. In the vein of how would we retire, we could do like this would be our speech.
Okay.
I think it'd be a fun bit coming up.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, we'll put it on the list. We'll get to that here in the incoming weeks and months.
All right. At Stephen Kyle, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, you're going to see. Well, teaser coming up of what we're going to announce next week on the podcast with the return, the fifth.
Boy, no, we've done Pole Badness. This is the fourth, but we've done a throaty two and throat 16. Badness tournament, Steve 16, for I believe 7 years now.
Oof, boy, we just keep pumping out the tent.
We're really good at doing. We're really good at putting out content that nobody wants.
All right. Big announcement next week. We'll talk to you then. See ya.
It's time to get down to business with $30 a month business internet. WOW Business offers 99.9% network reliability so that you can keep your business moving. $30 a month gets you 30 megabytes per second with 24/7 US-based support, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Lock in our lowest priced offer for the support you need. Go to switchtowellbusiness.com. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement subject to change. Prices do not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.